And I want to look to God's Word this morning. And as we do, I just encourage you to hear what the Spirit is saying to you this morning. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your Word. We thank you for the Spirit of the Lord that's in this place to guide us into truth. And Father, I know that your Word says that when we know the truth, that it'll make us free. And Father, I just pray for great victory to come in many lives today, for many changed lives, to bring honor and glory to you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Well, we have come today to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I just want to say it. He is not in a tomb. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He has a name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. By His Holy Spirit, He lives in the life of every believer. He lives on the inside of us. He's alive and well in us. Can you say amen to that? Is He alive and well in you this morning? The resurrection speaks of life everlasting. The resurrection speaks of power to overcome. The resurrection speaks of living a new life. And the resurrection speaks of victory. When Jesus rose from the dead, that meant that the battle was over. The victory was won. Well, this morning I want to preach the resurrection, but I also want to preach about the cross. Because we can't really understand all that the resurrection brings us if we don't understand the cross. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:18, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. I want you to think about that for just a minute. The scripture says that the message of the cross is the power of God. To us who are being saved, there is life-changing power in the message of the cross. And we need to never lose sight of the cross. Yes, we celebrate the empty tomb and the risen Lord, but we can never forget the cross and what He did for us on the cross. We need to talk about, we need to think about all that He went through so that we can understand all that He won for us in that victory. Started in the Garden of Gethsemane when the Bible says that He sweat as it were as great drops of blood as He prayed. I believe the weight of the world, all of the stress of the world, all of the stress, the weight of His task and what He was about to go through, that was all bearing down upon Him. And then, as He was betrayed by a friend and persecuted by the religious leaders, then handed over to the Romans who beat Him, who plucked His beard, who whipped Him with the cat of nine tails, who finally stretched Him out on a cross and nailed His hands and feet, raised Him on that cross until He died for us. To make sure that He was dead, they thrust a spear into His side. There was no doubt that this Savior had died. Oh, but that's not the end of the story, is it? It's not over, because in 3 days He rose again. The Bible tells us that He preached to the spirits who were bound. He preached to those who had already died. He led captivity captive. He declared His victory. And then He rose from the dead, triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. But I want to tell you this morning, He had to go through all of that. Why did He have to suffer so much? Why did he do it? Why was He willing to go through all of that? The Bible tells us that when they came in the garden to take Him, that Peter stepped up with a sword and cut off a man's ear. He wasn't that good of a swordsman. He wasn't going for an ear. But he cut off a man's ear. And this is what Jesus said in Matthew 26, 53 and 54. He said, "Do you think that I cannot pray to my Father and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels?" And what an amazing thing Jesus tells us here, that he could have called for 12 legions of angels. A legion was 6,000. That's 72,000 angels. He could have called for 12 legions of angels, but he didn't. And he tells us why. He says, "How then could the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen thus?" He says, this is the way that it has to happen according to the scripture. And here's what he was referring to. His suffering was foretold by the prophet Isaiah hundreds of years before. Isaiah 53, I'm just going to read verses 4 and 5. It says, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed." He bore our griefs and he carried our sorrows. This is not just pretty language. Jesus bore our griefs. He carried our sorrows. He took it all upon himself. All of our griefs and sorrows, he took it to provide for us being healed from past hurts. The day that Jesus began his ministry and he stood up and read from the book of Isaiah, he said that he had come to heal the brokenhearted. Jesus came to do that, to set us free from past hurts. He took care of that on the cross when he bore our griefs and he carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. Listen, he took upon himself all of our sin, all of our wrongs, everything that you've ever done, every sin, he bore it. Can you imagine the weight, the burden of such a magnitude of sin? The shame, the guilt, the condemnation that our Savior bore for us, that he who knew no sin, he who knew no sin, that's what the Bible tells us, 2 Corinthians 5:21, he who knew no sin, he didn't even know sin, but he became sin, so that we could be made the righteousness of God in him. I'm telling you, he not only provided for our forgiveness so we could be free from the guilt and the shame, but he also provided for us to be free from sin, to be free from the bondage of sin. Jesus also declared, when he began his ministry, he declared that he came to set the captives free, and he took care of that on the cross. When he freed us from our sin, the chastisement, the punishment for our peace was upon him. He paid the price so that we could have peace. Peace with God. Peace in this world. A peace that the world can't give and the world can't take away. And it tells us that by his stripes, by the very wounds on his body, we were healed. He took upon himself our infirmities. Matthew quotes the book of Isaiah this way. It's Matthew 8 and 17. Now, this is important because some people want to say that when it talks about by his stripes we are healed, some people want to say that that's only talking about spiritual healing. But when it was used here in Matthew chapter 8, it was talking about all the people that were being healed. And Matthew says this, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. I want you to think about this morning. On the cross, he took our infirmities. He bore our sicknesses on the cross. He took it all as he went to the cross and he died on the cross. He didn't just bear our iniquities. No, he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes, we were healed. He bore our sickness. Now, sometimes we get sick. Sometimes we still sin. Sometimes we let go of our peace and we get stressed out. And sometimes we get under a cloud of guilt and condemnation. But I want to tell you this morning that you can still leave it at the cross. You can still go back and put it at the foot of the cross and know that it's taken care of. And if you're struggling with an illness this morning, listen, you might be in a fight for your life with an illness. And I want to tell you that God is still your healer. And he still has paid the price already for your healing at the cross. And you can trust him with your healing. You can lay it at the foot of the cross and know that it's already been provided for you. Before Jesus died on the cross, he said, "It is finished." That meant that the price was paid. The battle had been won. He had accomplished everything that he was supposed to, and he declared, "It is finished." How do we know that the victory was won? How do we know that everything was taken care of? Because in 3 days he came out of the tomb victorious. He was raised for our justification. We know that the debt was paid. We know the victory was won because he came out of the tomb. Don't ever lose sight of the victory that he won when he came out of that tomb. He took upon himself all of our sinful human condition. He took upon himself our sin, our bondage. He took upon himself our hurts, our fears, our sicknesses. Took upon himself the weight of the world, but then he rose from the dead. And when he rose from the dead, I want you to think about this. He was seen by the disciples for 40 days. And Jesus, the risen Lord, who bore griefs and carried our sorrows, he was not sad. He wasn't carrying a heavy load of hurt and pain. All of that pain that you feel, he bore it. And yet, after the resurrection, he's not sad. He's not carrying that load anymore. Jesus, who took our sins, there was no shame on him. There's no guilt on him. There's no condemnation on him. There's not a cloud over him. He left it at the cross. That punishment that he bore for our peace, it's not on him anymore. He left it at the cross. He dealt with it at the cross. And when he rose, listen, he had victory. It was gone. all of the infirmities that he himself bore for us. It's not on him after the resurrection. No, the only thing that we see after the resurrection are the scars that prove his victory. I'm telling you, the risen Lord left all of that on the cross. He arose in power, in joy, in freedom, in peace. He finished it on the cross. Shouldn't we leave it at the cross? Listen, Isaiah 53, if we believe it, then we should leave all of that at the cross. He took care of it on the cross. Too many believers today are still carrying things that Jesus died to bring them victory for. Listen, things that he suffered for, things that he already paid for. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We have a new life in Christ. And I'm telling you, that's what the resurrection tells us, that there is a new life in Christ. Not the same old life, but I'm going to heaven. Are you listening to me? It's not just, well, I'm going to heaven. No, it's a brand new life. He says that we are a new creation. We're new creatures in Christ. See, the message of the resurrection is a life-changing gospel. Too much powerless Christianity today, where people believe in Jesus, they just don't believe that he really transforms lives. They don't believe that he sets free, that he heals. They don't believe that he can really bring victory in your life. And I'm telling you that the same one who died so that we could spend eternity with him died so that we could be free from those things. He took care of it on the cross. So many that profess to believe in Jesus, and yet they don't believe that he really changes lives, and they reduce Christianity down to just another religion. And it is not. It is a life-changing message. Because of what Jesus did on the cross. We're going to go to Romans 6, 4. And I say we're going because I want you to go with me. Romans 6, 4. Sometimes you need to see it in your own Bible, by the way. Is that really in there? Did they just make that up and put that up on the screen? Sometimes you need to see it in your own Bible. Romans 6 and 4. By faith, we leave all of that on the cross and we live the new life that Jesus gave us. Romans 6, 4, therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. And I just want to mention here to you, next week we're having water baptism. Baptism is a symbol of the change that takes place when we're born again, that the old person has been buried with him and the new person lives. Some people think that because it's a symbol, it's not important. Well, in the first place, it's important to obey the Lord. But symbols can be very important. You know, in 35 years of marriage, there have been a couple of times when I didn't have my wedding ring on for a few weeks for one reason or another. And did you know that somebody always notices and makes a deal out of it? It's just a symbol. But it's a powerful symbol. And I can only imagine what would happen if my wife didn't wear hers. And I'm telling you that water baptism is a powerful symbol that you no longer are part of Satan's dominion, but you've been translated into the kingdom of his dear son, that your life has been changed. But I want us to focus here on a couple of phrases in this verse of Scripture. They're so powerful, so profound, that it's a little bit hard to wrap your mind around it. It takes the help of the Holy Spirit to really take hold of these truths by faith. we were buried with him into death. Do you see that in the scripture? We were buried with him into death. I want you to say it with me. We were buried with him into death. Now I want you to make it personal and say I. Say it with me. I was buried with him into death. Wow. Now that's a strange thing to say unless you believe. We receive this spiritual truth by faith. By faith. We were buried with him into death. Oh, that's just the half of it. Listen, that old person died on the cross. That old life is gone. But then it says, just as Christ was raised from the dead, we are to walk in the newness of life. It says, we also should walk in the newness of life. Say it, we also walk in the newness of life. Yeah. I walk in the newness of life. You got to make it personal. You were buried with him in death, but now, you see, because of the cross, you were buried with him in death, but now, because of the resurrection, you walk in the newness of life. You're not living the same old life. Galatians 2:20 says, I've been crucified with Christ. I've been crucified with Christ. What's he talking about? Listen, that's not just for the Apostle Paul. That's for every believer. That our old person, that old person that you were before you became a new creation in Christ, he was crucified on the cross with Christ. That old person was taken care of on the cross so you could live, walk in the newness of life. He says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He says, it's no longer me, but it's Christ living in me. You need to know this for yourself. It's no longer you living, but it's Christ living in you. That's a new life. You see, everything changed when Jesus died on the cross. Everything changed. That old nature was taken care of on the cross. And let me tell you something. You need to leave it at the cross. And don't take it up again. Leave it on the cross. Leave it there. After we come to Jesus, we shouldn't be carrying around guilt and condemnation and shame anymore. We're free. We're walking in a new life. We shouldn't still be bound by sin. Romans chapter 6, just keep going there. He says, for if, in verse 5, he says, for if we've been united together in the likeness of his death, we certainly also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, for he who has died has been freed from sin. You see, it is a spiritual truth that you were crucified with Christ. That old man died on the cross with him so you could live a new life. He says, we're no longer slaves to sin. I'm telling you, there are a lot of Christians that are still bound up, still being hindered in some area of their life, not really fulfilling all that God has for them. No, there's a besetting sin that's keeping them from running their race with perseverance. And I want to tell you, you need to leave it at the cross. Jesus took care of it. Freedom. Some carrying a heavy burden of sorrow or grief this morning. Turn it over to him. Leave it at the cross. What keeps you from having peace this morning? Leave it at the cross. You're struggling with illness. Leave it at the cross. He's taking care of it. Still living too much of that old life. Listen, the new life that Jesus gives. You still go to the same job, the same school. You still have the same family. You still live in the same house. But you got a whole new life. That's what He provided for us when He died on the cross and He rose again. I want you to stand with me. We're going to pray. I'd like for our prayer partners to go ahead and come. Father, I just thank You that Your Spirit is here this morning to draw, Lord, to work in our lives. And I pray, Father, that once again, Lord, that You would change lives today. Oh, Father, those that have come weary and broken, those that have come needing a Savior, those that have come discouraged, needing faith to rise. Oh, Father, I pray that today is a life-changing day for them. I pray that today, Father, for many, that old life will be left behind and they'll begin to walk in the newness of life that You've provided for us. Oh, Father, thank You. Thank You for all that You have given to us through the death of Your Son. In His name I pray. Amen. Amen. So I want to ask you this morning, what keeps you from having peace this morning? Leave it at the cross. What do you need to leave at the cross this morning? The hurt? Is there some sin? Is there a bondage, even an addiction maybe, that you need to leave at the cross this morning? Just to lay it at the feet of the Savior and walk away from? Is there anxiety, a fear? Is there the weight of the world pressing down on you? Leave it at the cross this morning. He's already taken care of it. A sickness? Leave it at the cross this morning. Some of you here this morning, it's time for you to make Jesus your Savior and Lord, to turn your life over to Him, to give Him that old life so that He can give you His new life. In just a moment, we're going to have prayer here at the front, and I encourage you to come. Some of you are dealing with some one of those issues or several that you need to bring and just lay at the cross of Jesus. Leave it at the cross this morning. So we're going to sing, we're going to pray, and as we do, if you need prayer for any reason, I just encourage you to come. The victory that Jesus won for us, I'm telling you, there's no reason for you to walk out of these doors this morning without victory in your heart. So if you need prayer, as we worship, you come.